All right, I'm going to pray in just a minute. Open your Bible to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and I will pray for these as we begin tonight. And we want to be done on time here. And I hope that you will take a moment at the close of the service to go by the table and see Brother Dunn and his wife and look at the material there. There are many good books that they brought with them, and you might want to take advantage of that opportunity tonight. All right, let's pray together. Father, we come to you tonight, again, thankful for the privilege to be in service. God, would you please take care of all of these folks whose names were mentioned just a moment ago. We rejoice with Sergio and Elisa, Lord, on the announcement of a new one coming in the month of September. God bless this little baby. Give him a safe delivery in just a few months and a healthy baby. And then, Lord, I do pray that you'll be with Julie and Harold. Thank you for the improvement that Robin has seen. Bless this little two-year-old girl, Bailey. God be with her. Be with Mary Borchardt. As it seems like it's toward the end of her time, we do pray for the family of Pam Larson. And Father, we pray for our country tonight. We're in desperate need of revival. We're in desperate need of your hand moving. And Lord, help us to be faithful. And just, God, do a work. Do a work through your people, I pray, in these days. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Acts chapter 13. We've been talking about the subject, what on earth is God's will? What on earth is God's will? I want you to look with me at verse number 36, and I'll read it, then give a little introduction, and we'll get into the text here tonight. And we'll use our Bibles just for a few moments here in the book of Acts this evening. Now, the Bible says here, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Now, we've been talking about this matter of God's will and how it can be divided into two categories, the general will of God and the specific will of God. Number one on your handout, there are matters of obedience that are elements of God's general will for all saved people. All right? There are matters of obedience that are elements of God's general will for all saved people. We took a couple of Wednesday nights and looked at seven of them specifically. Number two, read your Bible, pray, attend church, give graciously, witness, live separated, give thanks. You can take the scripture and find places where those matters are a part of the general will of God for every saved person. Doesn't matter across the board, young and old, okay? Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, America or Australia or Nigeria or wherever. Those seven things, read your Bible, pray, attend church, give graciously, witness, live separated, and give thanks. Those are matters that are elements of God's general will for all saved people. Now, that's a list. If you and I busy ourselves with those seven things, then we'll be fairly occupied living in the will of God, all right, the general will of God. Now, what I want to talk about tonight, and again next Wednesday night, Lord willing, is the specific will of God. The specific will of God comes into play when we consider a person's livelihood. So number three on your sheet, the specific will of God is just that. It is the chosen vocation for every one of God's people, okay? It's the chosen vocation for every one of God's people. It's what God has for you and me to do in life. It concerns our livelihood. Number four, the dictionary defines livelihood as, quote now, a means of supporting one's existence, especially financially or vocationally. Okay? So that's a person's livelihood. It's the means of supporting one's existence, especially financially or vocationally, people. I believe with all of my heart that God has a will for every person's livelihood. Okay? I don't believe that if you're not in ministry, you're not in God's will. I believe everybody can be in God, everybody should be in God's general will, and everybody can be in God's specific will. Okay? So we want to talk a little bit about that tonight. In our text here in Acts 13, Paul is speaking here, and he's been preaching, and he's going over Israel's history, if you will. And he makes a statement in verse number 36 about David. He says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. Now, number five on your sheet, whatever David had done in his life, in the process of doing it, he had done the will of God. So whatever he had done, in the process of doing it, he had done the will of God. Because the Bible says, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. Now think with me, after he left his dad's house, David was a servant, he was a soldier, and then he was a sovereign. He served Saul after he killed Goliath. And then he became a soldier for King Saul. And then one day he became the sovereign. He became the king. Now, in those vocations, if you will, David had done the specific will of God for his life. He wasn't less in the will of God when he was a soldier than when he was a king. He wasn't less in the will of God when he was a servant than when he was a soldier. In every capacity, the Bible tells us that David did the will of God for his life. So in all of those vocations, if you want to call them that, his livelihood, David had been in the specific will of God for his life. Now, I want to talk tonight about number 6 here on your sheet. God calls some into specific full-time ministry. God calls some into specific full-time ministry. And I want you to use your Bible tonight with me just a moment here. Look at Acts chapter 9. So turn back just a few pages to Acts chapter 9 and look with me at verse number 10, okay? So we're on the road to Damascus with Saul of Tarsus, okay? Acts chapter 9, verse number 10. So we pick it up in the story here, and he's already seen the light and so forth. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him saith the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, so forth and so on. In verse 13, Ananias says, Lord, are you sure you know what you're talking about? All right? You sure you want me to go talk to this killer, this one that's been wrecking havoc, okay? But look at verse 15. Here's what the Lord said to Ananias. The Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So God sends Ananias to Saul for the purpose of giving him instruction. Now remember, this was after Saul had prayed, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He'd just been saved. He hasn't even been baptized yet. And already he was asking God for instruction concerning God's plan for his life. Okay? Now flip over to Acts chapter 22. Turn over to Acts 22. In Acts 22, Paul is now speaking to an angry mob, and he's recalling that happening on the road to Damascus. He's talking about his testimony. I want you to look at verse number 12 in Acts 22. Verse number 12. So he says here, And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. So Paul's talking about that experience on the road to Damascus, and he says, you know what? God sent Ananias to me so that I could learn what God's will was for my life. And God's will for Paul was to serve him as a missionary / evangelist / church planner and so on. So here was a man, you know, I guess it's a wonderful thing if God puts that calling on a man, and on occasion, number 7 on your sheet, God will call a man into full-time service at the time of that person's salvation. Now, that doesn't happen a lot, but it did happen to Saul of Tarsus. When he got saved, God still immediately called him into full-time service. Now, I have some friends, I've heard testimony of other preachers who have that similar testimony. They got saved, and within the first 7 to 10 days, they knew that God wanted them to preach. So that happens once in a while. But most of the time, a specific call to full-time service comes to a man after he's been saved and grown in grace and so forth. It may come to him in his youth. It may come to him in adulthood. Number 8 on your sheet, this call has nothing to do with personality, education, financial standing, even capability. Because Paul told us in 1 Corinthians that God chooses the strange things, if you will, of this world to confound the mighty. He uses the weak, and he calls not many noble, okay? So those things are not necessary in the matter of a call to specific full-time ministry. There is one truth to know for sure about a call into specific full-time ministry. That's number 9 on your sheet. God will only call someone into full-time ministry who is already fulfilling the general will of God. He's only going to call somebody who's already fulfilling the general will of God. Okay, what am I talking about? I'm talking about reading the Bible, praying, attending church, witnessing, gracious giver, whatever the other, praying, whatever the other things were, living separated, those 7 things. A man will most certainly have to be involved in fulfilling the general will of God before God reaches down, in most cases, before God reaches down and calls that man into full-time service. I want you to turn back to Acts 16. Turn back to Acts chapter 16. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about here in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 1. So Paul is on one of his missionary church planting journeys. The Bible says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. So we got Timothy, okay? Son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, believed that his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So here is this young man, Timothy. He is saved, and he is well reported of by the brethren. And Paul recruited Timothy to accompany him on his journey. Now, here's my point, folks. Timothy was already doing the general will of God for his life when God began to work in his heart for a specific livelihood of full-time ministry. How do we know that? He was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Hey, Paul, here's a good young man. He's squared away. He's got not only character, if you want to call it secular character, he knows how to get up and go to work. He's got spiritual character. He's got a heart for God, got a heart for God's work. Hey, Timothy, why don't you come go with me? So here's this young man. He's already involved in God's general will for his life. He's got a great testimony. And as he travels with the Apostle Paul, now God calls him evidently into full-time ministry for his livelihood. He went on to become the pastor of the church in Ephesus. He became Paul's closest confidant in ministry, probably his most close disciple, okay? So that's how it started. You got a young man that got saved. He's doing the general will of God. We know that because he was well reported of amongst the brethren. He gets around the Apostle Paul. Next thing you know, he's pastoring a church, okay? And later on, Paul writes 2 letters to him. Now, I know men, and you know, and who encourage young men to volunteer for full-time service. I'm talking about men like John R. Rice. I heard Dr. Rice preach many times, stated that he never was called into full-time service, that he just signed up, basically. And I would never argue with that approach. It was pretty clear that God's plan was for John R. Rice to be in full-time ministry. His books are still being used today. But I feel strongly that when a man is considering the office of pastor, evangelist, missionary for his livelihood, in other words, that's how he's going to make his living, if you will, then God's call should be the determining factor. Now, God enables a lot of men to preach, but he calls some into ministry as their livelihood. We have men in this church that God has enabled them to preach, and they're great preachers. But they have other means of livelihood, making their living. God takes some men and says, look, I don't want you just to preach. I want you to fulfill the specific office, pastor, evangelist, assistant pastor, administration, you know, all these things. And I want you to do it, if you will, for your livelihood. I want you to serve me in full-time ministry. Okay? And I think that's, I just believe that's very, I think it's very needed for a man to do that. Now, Let me just say to parents tonight, you know, parents cannot call their sons into full-time ministry. And you really, you can't even call your daughters into marrying into full-time ministry. That has to be a work of God, okay? But I'm going to tell you, folks, that is not the problem most prevalent among parents. Number 10 on your sheet, the problem most prevalent is that parents do not encourage their sons to pray, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And that's what I trust the families of Faith Baptist Church, those of you with little children especially, elementary age children, young teenage boys at home, I hope that you will encourage those boys and those young adult men to start praying every day, Lord, what would you have me to do? Please don't decide for your sons their vocation or their career path for their livelihood. In some cases, full-time ministry is discouraged. It's discouraged, and I can't imagine doing that. Now, people, look, it's pretty obvious that the entire world is in a mess right now. You know that. And this is not a vent tonight. This has moved on beyond George Young. This is more than Black Lives Matter. I think the black people are being used. This is an attack on capitalistic free society. This is what this is. They're trying to shut this thing down. And I'm going to tell you something. It's getting scary. Okay? So we're in a mess. We're headed for hell in a handbag. And you know, if this is the beginning of the end, as the trumpet sound draws nigh, that's right. Amen. Can't scare us with heaven. I hope not. Okay? We'll be on our way. Now look, if ever there was a day, if Jesus is going to leave us here a little longer, actually God the Father decides that. If God's going to leave us here a little longer, if ever there was a day when young men going into full-time ministry was needed, it's today. But this is the truth across the board. There are less men going to start churches, less men training in Bible colleges or institutes, large or small, doesn't matter. Less men surrendering to the mission field, not more, and not even the same. Less. Now, I'm not God, you're not God. Maybe that's part of God's judgment. Maybe God's not calling as many as He used to. But I'm going to tell you something. I still believe somewhere, some church, some town, some city, there have got to be young men that God's plan for them is full-time ministry service. We got to have pastors. We got to have missionaries. We got to have evangelists. You know, I'll mention this tonight. I was going to, but I'll go ahead since it kind of fits. But I mentioned to the men at the men's meeting, financial meeting back in January, that I felt like God was moving to have us bring an intern in to work here for 2 or 3 years. And had a young man in mind. We were already talking and have continued to talk. And on the 1st of July, Brother Andrew Reardon and his wife are coming here. And he'll be serving as an intern with us on ministry staff, and he'll be here for about 2 to 3 years. Abby's going to teach in the school, and he's going to be learning the ropes of youth ministry, preaching ministry, soul winning ministry, all of that, bus ministry. He'll be involved in all of those things, helping the different assistant pastors out like an intern. I'm going to get up and say we need more young men in ministry. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to help those young men get started. Okay? And he feels like God's call in his life is to be an evangelist. And I'm going to tell you something, that's a pretty difficult thing right now. But if that's God's call on his life, and we can help him, and we're in a position where we can do that, then I want to do it. You know, if I'm not going to be here forever. If Jesus stays in heaven, I'll be joining him one of these days. But boy, if you could help train an Andrew Reardon, he's a good young man. We kind of know the family a little bit, amen? And so he'll be coming here, him and Abby. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited about that, all right? I'm just saying, look, I can't call men into ministry. You can't call men. I didn't call my son to be a missionary. I didn't tell Luke what he had to do with his life. I prayed for it. Let God deal with them. But I wouldn't want a situation where families were discouraging full-time service. Well, son, are you really sure you want to do this given the given the circumstances of the world today. But people, given the circumstances of the world today, we probably need more voices out there, full-time ministry, in whatever capacity. You know, hey, I got saved at that boy's home in October of 1975. In June of 1976, we traveled on a Sunday to two churches. I think we actually left on Saturday, and we traveled to North Florida, and we were there in a service in a church outside of Jacksonville, Florida. I don't know where it is, which church it is or anything. Back in those days, they had something called Baptist Training Union, BTU. It was actually a Southern Baptist thing. It was like Sunday school in the evening, before the evening service. And so we got there in time for that. I sat on the front row. It was the first Sunday in the month of June, 1976. The pastor had a young man who had just spent his first year at Bible college. I think it was Tennessee Temple back in those days. He had him preach in that service. So they brought all the classes together in the auditorium, and that 19, 20-year-old man preached. I'm sitting down there minding my own business with my Bible open, just absorbing the message. And all of a sudden, it's like everything around me is gone. If you know what I'm talking about. You ever been in a service where God singles you out? And you lose track of all people around you. And the Spirit of God began working on my heart. And I thought to myself, that Lord, there's no way I can do that. No way. But I knew God was moving on my heart. When that service ended, we had about a 15-minute break. I went out the auditorium, down a hallway, found a little classroom. The door was unlocked. I went in, turned the light off, locked the door, got on my knees by a chair, and said, God, I don't know what you're doing, but my heart is moved. I don't know what you want. I don't know how I can do that, but if you're asking me, if you're telling me that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. But you got to show me from this. It can't be some emotional experience. I don't know why I said this. I said, Lord, I want you to do it within the next 2 weeks. And I don't know why I said that, but I did. That's on a Sunday night. We get in the van after the service, drive all night through the night, up through Georgia into Tennessee, get to the boys' home early Monday morning, like 3 o'clock Monday morning. And Wednesday night we go to church, our little church there in Graysville, Tennessee. And pastor's out of town and with a guest speaker. Did you hear that? The pastor's out of town with a guest speaker. I'm not the first guy to be going on Wednesday night once in a while. Okay, this is what I'm doing, folks. This is as old as anybody. Anyway. So, guest speaker, it's raining. The crowd is down. He gets up. He says, open your Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. So I do. He reads. He begins to preach. He says, now look at verse number 10. And I'm looking at the Bible. And the Bible says, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And then he says, look at verse 20. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Then he started preaching. What was he preaching about? I have no idea. I was lost in those two verses. I know what the context is. I know it's talking about the physical temple building, Solomon doing the work, physical work, overseeing it, putting the temple up. But I know what had happened to me on Sunday night. I know what I'd asked God to do in my heart. It wasn't emotional. It was right from this book right here. And that was the night I know God called me to full-time ministry. It's as special to me as the Wednesday night of my salvation. It was God's specific will for my life. Now, next week, I'm going to talk about God's specific will for your life if you're not in full-time ministry and how that all develops. But I wanted to start tonight with this. God still calls men into full-time ministry. And I'm thrilled to see young men surrender. Just make sure in your home you teach those kids, those boys especially, to pray, Lord, what would thou have me to do? You. encourage that. Leave it to God. Let Him work on their heart. If He wants them in full-time ministry, He'll let them know. And encourage them when He does, if He does, to surrender. Amen. And God can use them. All right, let's stand together. Father in heaven, I pray that You'll bless the lesson to our hearts tonight. I thank You for Your will. I thank You for the privilege of doing Your general will, the blessing of reading our Bibles and praying and going to church and witnessing and giving and, Lord, living a separated life. And I thank You that You have a specific will for each one of us as well. Bless our time in Your word tonight. Thank You for it. Bless us as we go home with safety. In Jesus' name and amen.